What's going on, everybody? You're listening to Small State Big Takes, presented by House Enterprise. We have a message from our friends over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Whether it's a college football bet, an NFL bet, or all types of sports bets, the DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. If you use the code SSBT and bet $5, you can instantly score up to $200 in bonus bets. Listen to the episode to hear more information about this DraftKings promo, but if you're a new customer, head on down to the DraftKings Sportsbook, use the code SSBT, and instantly score those bonus bets. Enjoy the episode, and remember, the house always wins.
Oh, welcome back to Small State, Big Takes. This is episode 257. We got a lot to get to this week, so opening take for Stephen Lescott. Don't waste any time. What do you got?
Yo, no time wasted. Shut up, James Murphy. Okay, big take. Oh, I just fucked up my microphone. Okay, big take. I don't have one, so all I have to say is fuck Rhode Island for making us change our license plates. I want to keep my plate forever. It was my mom's plate. I wanted to drive around the entire universe with it. Unfortunately, I have to take it off my car now. That's baloney. Shout out to Gina Raimondo. What the hell happened?
Wait, they're actually making you change your plates?
Yes, I got a letter in the mail. It was like, please send in $144.50, and we'll send. And you have to, you can keep your plate, but you have to get the new wave plate, which is like a light blue rather than a white and blue plate. That's baloney. I've had my plate for fucking, I'm gonna be 30 since I was 16. Do the math.
That's wild, man.
Wild.
I don't know why they do that,
dude. Who cares? It's another like money making tax thing. Rhode Island, you're too corrupt.
Facts.
Shout out to Florida.
Out to Florida. It's a great state to live in.
Top five states to live in. Drop it.
I've only lived in two. Florida's the top one.
Yeah, but we'll assume I've only lived in one.
All right. Yeah, I'll throw Florida in there. Even though I don't think I'm built for the summers. I feel like Colorado's kind of got it going on.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Texas is probably pretty fire, except for the hot summers, obviously.
I bet you Vermont's cool.
Yeah, if I'm in New England, I'm just going to stay in Rhode Island, I think. I'm a weenie.
Come on, you weener. Dude, there's no income tax.
I like North Carolina. I could do that again. Probably not for, like, a long time.
How about North Dakota?
Fuck no.
Middle of nowhere.
No, I don't. If I'm choosing somewhere to live, I don't think I would choose somewhere that gets like feet of snow for 6 months.
If I had $1 billion, I might move to like one of those states though, like Idaho. You know what I mean? Like
you mean just like have up. a ranch in Montana or some shit like that.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I would live there full time, but if you got a billy, why not like just have one to have one?
Like fly the boys out. Like, yo, just come out for the weekend. I'll be chilling, playing cornhole and shit.
Yeah, you can't do that anywhere else.
When's the last time you guys played cornhole?
You know who can go play cornhole whenever he wants right now?
Who?
Heim Bloom.
R.I.P. Oh, shit. Where's Gilly at? We need Gilly in here to fucking pop off.
Yeah.
Yes!
You know, this is Josh's second account coming in. I'm kind of happy we didn't do an emergency pod because we would have sounded like the bastards of Boston baseball. I think it would have got pretty ugly. I've had some time to sit on it personally, and I still don't agree with the decision. But I think I have a little bit better understanding as to why it's happening at this point.
Please explain.
Well, I think it's pretty simple. I think ownership is ready to spend, and they don't trust Heim Bloom to spend correctly.
Okay.
That's it. That's the only reasonable reason I can think of as to parting ways. That's it.
He's not a spending guy, so he built the farm system and then did what they, I feel like, what he was meant to do, and now his time is over.
Yeah, I still think it's a bad look just to be like, hey, come here, okay, you did your job, bye.
Yeah,
but it's a cycle that we keep seeing happen over and over again.
The Red Sox are the king of bad looks now. That's all they know how to do is do the wrong thing. Continuously. I'm so frustrated. I'm so angry still. I feel exactly the same way as I did when I found out the news about Haim. I can talk clearly now and say things.
Not just like rambling on with endless sentences.
I still might.
It would eventually make no sense. And here comes Gilly. I think we're all kind of on the same page with it. I'm a little bit more level-headed now, but I still just do not agree with the move. And Gilly comes in right on cue. We only started a few minutes ago. I know your dinner was probably running a little late. Those zoodles aren't going to cook themselves. So
it sounded scrumptious, Gilly. How was it?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You're right. They are tricky. They are quite tricky. What were you guys talking about?
Haim.
Well, yeah, we
tell us your thoughts.
We just jumped right into it.
Yeah. It's tough. I've heard of like a lot of stuff on it. I'm kind of more okay with it than I was initially. It still upsets me a little bit just because I feel like this is kind of I've seen a lot of takes that I agree with where I would have given him one more year and kind of seen what yep. stuck for next year. But at the end of the day, it just sucks because it's like he was in a position where he basically could have never succeeded, right? In my opinion, I think he's the scapegoat again. The ownership gets to hit kind of reset sort of on a timeline of expectations with fans. It's tough. He seems like such a cool guy too. That's the thing where it's like everyone said nothing but great things about him as a person, whether it be the media, even some minor league players like chiming in being like, he was like the coolest GM or player ops guy that they've gotten to deal with and was like super personable and all that shit. So and it hurts. I'm still a little upset about it, to be honest, especially because like, who are we replacing him with? That's what's kind of gets me where I'm like, even the Mike Hazen talk that picked up today. Yeah, I kind of am too. And again, I was mad when Mike Hazen left. It's like, oh damn, that sucked. Cause I think, did we fire Terrington like shortly after Hazen left?
I feel so. Like, yeah.
But like, it's like he hasn't done and again, I know Arizona's different, but he hasn't really done a whole lot in Arizona.
What has he done? He's done one thing, and that was trade for JD Martinez. Other than that, like, he got a bad return on Goldschmidt. Yeah, he traded for Zach Gallen, but he gave up Jazz in the process. So like, it's kind of a win-win trade there. And it's just like, I know they built something nice now.
Yeah,
but look how long it took. It took like 6-7 years for that to happen.
And even that, what did they build? It's not really anything crazy. It's like
a fringe wildcard team.
Yeah, which is like, okay, cool. So that's where I'm like, that's where I get ticked, where I'm just like, because I don't know. I don't think Theo is happening as much as that'd be fun. Although I do like the theory. I don't know if you guys saw this, because Sam Kennedy immediately said that like Theo Epstein is not an option. But if Theo were an option, wouldn't he basically like be Sam Kennedy's boss or replace Sam Kennedy? Like
he would take like a much higher Lucchino role than just like president of baseball ops. Cause like he, in my opinion, is like, he wants the commissioner job in my opinion.
Theo,
like, he wants to be MLB commissioner and he's not going to take a step back of the role he's in the commissioner's office to come be president of baseball ops in Boston again.
True. You know what's crazy? This is a sign of us getting old, I think, but I don't know. I feel like so many of our commissioners that we've had, I have not been aware of their career leading up to them being commissioner or deputy commissioner, right? Where it's like that would be a cool example of like, oh, we know what that guy did versus again, you know, Manfred and what's his freaking name? Bud Selig was like with the Brewers for ages and stuff like that. So like you hear the stories, but to like live through that is kind of interesting to think that we're approaching that age of life to be like, oh yeah, I don't know, MLB commissioner. I remember when he was a GM, like that's kind of fucked up.
Isn't it weird how, you know, I had a high thought the other day about how MLB, like we've witnessed, you know, 30 years of it, but like the history of the MLB is 100 years. Like we know the history, you know, that we didn't watch.
Yeah.
And now we're living this part of history. Like there's a whole generation that we that came and went in the time that we've watched baseball. Like I'm thinking about like Swisher, shit like that. You know what I mean? I don't know why I thought
Teixeira.
Yeah,
like Teixeira, that group.
We've
like
seen Swisher.
Curtis Granderson. Yeah. But most importantly, the Nick Swisher era of baseball.
Nick Swisher era, dude. It was an era. There was a time, like 2004. He was dirty on the Yankees. People don't.
Was there a more punchable face in all of baseball history than Nick Swisher?
Yeah, he's just a motherfucker, right? You're just like, oh, yeah,
I don't know if there is one.
You love him if
maybe Brett Gardner.
Yeah, true. Actually, it's funny though with the 100-year thing because I heard something. I might have been on like Bill Simmons' podcast or whatever, but they were talking about Haim and I don't know. Bill Simmons loves bringing up the Mookie trade always, which I understand has played out. But they made a really funny joke where it's like, it just so happens that the Red Sox every 100 years trade away a generational slash like century century best talent. So the bright side is though that we're not going to be there to see the next one. So we're at least we've seen the 21 trade of the 100 years.
21-19, we won't be here to witness whatever player they get rid of then. But to your original point, there is Haim Bloom is brought in. He's immediately said to trade Mookie Betts, and then his manager gets fired, and then COVID hits. And you're like, all right, well, the season doesn't matter. If we even play it, it didn't matter. You tank right, you get Marcelo Meyer, and now you're building something. You get to the ALCS, but then you followed up with two kind of stinker seasons, especially at the trade deadline. Off seasons to be determined, like, I don't know, they weren't great. They weren't bad. There were good, some good signings, but at the end of the day, just completely neglecting defense and pitching is makes it hard to win in the majors. Turns out, who would have thought? So he obviously has his flaws, and that is, in my opinion, as of right now, is identifying major league pitching, and he definitely valued versatility on defense over just the ability to play a defensive position, like getting guys like Kike that could move around and trying to move other guys around and whatnot all over the outfield, especially, and stuff like that. But what did he excel at? Absolutely stacked the farm system. Has really, can you, like, as of right now, can't really name a bad early draft pick. Like Kyle Teal looks like the steal of the draft so far. Roman Anthony looks like an absolute stud. Marcelo Meyer still a top 10 prospect. We might even see him next season, health depending. So, like, I don't think you can deny that part of what he was good at. But he was brought in to cut spending, build a farm system, and make the playoffs. So doing two out of three of those things is extremely difficult to do in the majors. And doing all three of those things at the same time in a 2-3 year window is just impossible. I heard that on a little Jeff Passan snippet, and it really resonated with me. It's just like, that is a definition of just lose, lose, lose. And that's what happened. And he's the scapegoat. Now, that's all I can think of is they just don't think he's the guy to go spend the money that they're ready to spend at this point.
Do you guys really think that they're ready to spend money? Because that's the other thing, too, that I'm like, I question, where it's like, was he really just slow on the trigger? Because I feel like now all of a sudden we're kind of seeing some stuff leak out about his indecisiveness. And that's kind of being you, which, again, classic Red Sox ownership / front office, where they're probably leaking this out just like they did to
everybody else.
Everybody. Terry Francona, I feel like, is the first example I remember of that. I'm like, holy shit.
That was the big one.
Key smear campaign. But yeah, I do you guys really trust that? Like, do you think that that is the case, or Haim was too indecisive? Or are you, do you kind of question if the Red Sox were even willing to spend like they kind of seem like they're claiming they were?
Red Sox aren't spending shit. I will never. You, did you know the truth about the Red Sox? They're the fakest team to ever live. Once again, we'll be in this bullshit Ohtani cycle of, oh, I don't know, guys. Maybe we'll get him. Oh, Ohtani says he likes Boston. Dude, you think the Red Sox wouldn't give Mookie Betts fucking what he wanted? $300 million. They're not going to give fucking Ohtani jack shit over that already with Devers on the books. There's no way. There's no way we have to go down this road again. Once again, this toxic cycle, this long winter is coming up. I'm not looking forward to it. Terry Cushman style.
I just think that Ohtani's a different player. Like, Mookie's great, but Ohtani's different. I think every single team is going to be in on Ohtani one way or another. I really do. And I don't know why I believe that, but I see it, man. I even think, like, someone like the Pirates is going to, like, throw some type of money at Shohei Ohtani.
That would be awesome.
And like back to the indecisiveness on trades, like these things that are coming out. Oh, he had an offer for Chris Sale to take on the entire contract and get major league players. One, that just seems last year. I want firm detailed sources on that, because I have a very, very hard time believing anybody would take on that contract, that player, and then give up major league players in return. And then at the same time, like there was a Justin Turner one, a James Paxton one. You hear all these ones. I don't know. It's just like his indecisiveness, maybe. But maybe the Red Sox ownership wanted them to unload the Chris Sale contract, and he didn't. Or maybe they wanted to give more than Justin Turner to get Edward Cabrera. Or like there's so many different hypotheticals out there. And of course it's all extremely convenient timing. I don't really buy too much of it yet. I would like to get firm details from multiple sources on all of it, not just whatever ownership and Sam Kennedy's feeding Rob Bradford and Jared Kravis. Like I need a little bit more than that personally.
I'm with you. Yeah. Easy to come in after the fact with vague things and be like, oh, just to get fans to be like, well, wow. Yeah. That's really proves that.
Yeah. The same shit after they traded Mookie. Oh, we offered them this, that. They did the same thing with Xander. Oh, we offered them this and that. Like, oh, we did this with John Lester. It just goes back to how they handle situations. Like Steve said, it's just in the day, kind of the same old Red Sox. They find the scapegoat. Now they're going to move on, and I can see how the job can be appealing on one end, but at the other end, you basically have a 4-year deal, because you know after 4 years, the chances of you sticking around in that role are slim to none, because Heim was 4 years, Dombrowski was 4 years, Charrington was 4 years. It's pretty consistent the last 12 to 15 years on how long each of these guys stays. There's a shelf life at this point, and I don't see any reason why it would change at this point.
Yeah, there was something I saw on Twitter too. I forget who it was, so I apologize to whoever had a great tweet on this, but it was about the history of GMs and Red Sox GMs, where like Dombrowski to Heim was the first one that like the previous one did not do any favors for the one coming in.
Yeah.
Because again, speaking to that, like even Charrington is a prime example, right? I feel like when he got fired, I don't think we were that upset, right? We were kind of like, oh, it almost felt like this, where it was like, oh, he was doing fine, but like, okay, whatever. But like after the fact, his moves were pretty damn good. And the lack of moves, the moves that he didn't make, which I think that's what we're going to look back on a few years from now and be like, you know what? Thank God Heim was not some reckless fucking
trading Mookie Betts and someone for Cole Hamels, something like that. Remember that?
Yeah. So exactly. Because sometimes the best moves you make are the ones you don't, which I know sounds so lame, especially when it's like you want to win and we haven't won, but. Yeah, that's my 2 cents there.
I have a lot of respect for Heim now. I didn't for a long time, but I was blinded by and then reminded of my hatred of the owners. I just feel like whenever I look back at that Mookie trade, I want to cry. And I like block it out. Like that's how bad that trade is to me. Like I just don't think about it. It's like, wow, they really fuck it. Like, I love this team so much. I have the fucking 50 hats, 30 million shirts. Like, this team means the world to me. And they broke my heart. They broke all of our hearts, and we just forgave them because they're the fucking Red Sox. It's so frustrating. I still love them. I'll always love them. Sorry, I'm going on a rant. I'm just pissed.
No, I'm with you.
I'm like permanently pissed. Like I look back on the Red Sox, like when Bobby Valentine was there, that was the first time I was like, you son of a bitch. Like you guys, I hate this team. Like I almost went and got that Orioles debit card. I never felt like a toxic love like that. Like I love this team so much, but they hate me so badly. Why? Then the 2013 comes. Guess who forgave them? Me, you, and everybody else. That was fucking, it was Victorino, Johnny Gomes. They figured it out in that time. Then 2014, who remembers? John Lester was gone. I hate this team again. It's a fucking toxic cycle.
Don't worry, we're gonna sign him back.
We're gonna sign him back,
and we're gonna get Cespedes.
Then they get Porcello, who years later becomes the man, 2018 or whatever. But still, it's like, fuck, his fucking team, man. Like, from 2010 to 2020 was a painful time, even with those World Series wins, I think, in my mind.
Well, there's a lot of last place finishes in there among the World Series wins.
Right.
So I mean, you'd rather have that, though, than what the Yankees have had, right?
Yeah, no doubt, 100%. Because they're going to go run it back with Cashman and fucking Boone again.
Which, that is so funny, because that's, I mean, yeah, that's abysmal.
It's been seven years.
That's where it's funny, where it's like people, Yankees fans kind of like trashing Red Sox fans slash whatever the team situation. It's like, listen, this is, and you might have said this, Oliver, I feel like someone said it from our Twitter, but it was like, this is you're shitting on people like during your window. This is your window that you should be winning and competing for World Series, and you have a dud of a year, and we're comparable in the standings, and you think that's a win against the Red Sox? Like, what? That makes no sense.
It's the fucking Talking Yanks podcast. Like, those guys, those guys have been like, why are you bragging about a 3-1 series win in September when battling for last place, when you were a favorite to win the World Series? You haven't won a World Series since 2009, 2008, 2009, whenever the fuck it was. And it's been the same fucking bullshit for six years now. It's like, I don't get how the Yankee Twitter fan base has the balls to go out there and run their mouth right now, when I'd argue the Red Sox are in a better spot. They have a better farm system. They might not have a better major league roster on paper, but maybe a better lineup, I'd argue. Not the better rotation, not the better bullpen, but like, just in general, I don't know, man. It that part is wild. It's like Yankee fans used to be World Series or bust mentality, and now they're out here bragging about a 3-1 series win in the middle of September, battling over last place. Like, oh my goodness, how the standards have dropped.
Are you guys, I'm of the opinion, and maybe this is, I'm sure some Red Sox fans don't agree with this, but at this point, we're out of it. I want to lose every, I don't care if we don't win one more game. I really don't give a shit. If that gives us a better draft pick, I'm kind of good with that. It's like, what's the point? I don't think there's a difference in terms of us finishing in fourth or fifth place.
Yeah.
Personally, at least, you know what I mean?
Just play the fucking young guys.
Yeah. And see what you got. And if you win a few games and it's fun, like, you know what? Cool. But otherwise, it's like, I just think it's pointless to be like, oh yeah, we were X games over 500. It's like, no, if that's the difference between draft pick 15 and 8, I'll be sad a little bit in September. I'll take it for getting that next prospect, as long as it's not a fucking, who's the Trey, like a Trey Ball. I feel like he was like a ninth or 11th pick. So I don't know. I guess you can't. You don't always get studs in that range, but whatever. That guy,
Trey Ball, kitchen straight.
That guy, he's just
he was picked before Aaron Judge.
That's so fucked up.
So sad.
He changed the outfield too. He's got to be out of the league now, right?
He's out. Yeah, he's definitely out.
Once this news settled in, I was like, all right, what's the Red Sox plan, and what's going to happen to Heim? Because I still think there's going to be job opportunities for him. Imagine Heim Bloom gets hired by the Angels and has to trade away Mike Trout and let Ohtani walk.
Yeah,
I love that.
That is just like, oh my God, that guy, I would feel so bad for him. Because talk about another, like,
we should tweet it now.
I think I did.
I think Oliver did, like, last week. I think I got some traction because people were like, yeah, oh my God.
Like, and
it's
totally what's the plan.
But think, like, realistically, you can think about that. He's going to go in there, the worst farm system in baseball, some awful contracts, too. Like, I'm not going to call Mike Trout an awful contract, because when he's playing, he's still at the top. He just doesn't play, and he's got a lot of money out there. And you have Anthony Rendon, who's played like 7 games in 3 years and sucks when he plays. And no, like, you have nothing to trade. Like, who, if you go in there, like, who are you going to flip around to get prospects? It's Mike Trout. And then, I don't know where to go, but I feel like that would just be a fit that would be too funny not to happen. And then I just don't know what the fuck the Red Sox are going to do.
Speaking of Rendon, I saw someone on Twitter, I think today or somewhat recently, call him Tony No Bags, and I thought that was so funny.
Just no bags at all.
Tony No Bags, so disrespectful. But yeah, you're right. Although the other one I could see too for Heim is low-key the Phillies. Say they don't do well this offseason or this postseason, and then depending on how next year goes, that'd be kind of a funny one if they go into like Red Sox mode where they're like, yeah, we spent, but like, let's try to make this quote unquote sustainable. Let's do that. And I think he's from Philly too. So that would be kind of funny too. If like full circle, he just keeps cleaning up after Dombrowski.
That'd be cool. Yeah. He just follows Dombrowski around.
Yeah.
Building up the prospects. He does a good job on the prospects. Fucking except Blaze Jordan. I found out. You see that?
No.
I guess he's struggling hard. I didn't realize. I guess he's gained some weight too. Sorry to Blaze Jordan, but I thought he was going to be a stud. I still think he has the potential.
I mean, it's like when people criticize Belichick's drafting, you can't hit on every single one.
I know.
Nobody does, but yeah, he's still young. He was drafted out of high school, so he's going to have a down year eventually.
Yeah, because he was one where they paid him a bit of money, right? They got him like in a not late round, but like not, he wasn't a first round pick, but no. He was probably like first round talent, quote unquote.
Right.
Why do you sound like that?
Because I think he just wanted money. And
yeah. And it's like when you take high school guys that early, you take the risk that they just say, fuck off, I'm going to college if you don't give me enough money. Right. And then they go back to the draft in a couple of years.
Yeah. It's such a weird draft process.
It is weird. I don't understand why it's not like hockey where, I don't know if you guys know this, but if you get drafted out of high school in hockey, that team has your rights once you finish college hockey.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
So you don't go back into the draft. You just like, you're a college hockey player. You get drafted by the Bruins. You go to Providence College. You graduate from Providence College and boom, you go right back into the Bruins organization.
Wow. Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's yeah. Cool. Seems pretty fucking straightforward to me. I don't know why baseball can't do it, but they can't, I guess.
Yeah. No. And that's what's funny, though, because that's where you have like Garrett Cole is a prime example of that, right? He got drafted in the first round by the Yankees. They couldn't come to a deal. So then he went to UCLA for a couple of years, gets drafted by the Pirates, ends up going to the Yankees anyway. But
I feel like he didn't want to be Yankee sometimes.
I know. That's why I thought he wouldn't do. I thought he wouldn't sign with them. But I guess he, I don't know. Just makes that whole fan thing. Yankee fan today for tomorrow, forever. Remember that sign of like when you were a little kid? Yeah. It's like, so what? Weird. You got drafted by them in the first round? They offered you all this money and you were like, that's not enough. You didn't want to be a Yankee that bad. Get the hell out of here.
Do you guys ever sit and remember like the Garrett Cole days of the Pirates? Like when he wasn't exactly what we thought he was? He was
right.
Good.
He was letting up bombs
there
early on. Kind of like a young Mitch Keller. Just saying.
Yeah, he was okay. You could see he could be really good someday.
Yeah. And then they gave up on him, and the Pirates did the Pirates thing where they just traded him for shit.
And then he got Spider Tech.
Right. Yes, that also helps.
Can't forget.
I never will.
I mean, people shit on Barry Bonds, but, you know, there's Garrett Cole.
Who got paid. Do you ever think that the Pirates or Garrett Cole was a victim or a beneficiary of the right timing? sorry about that. I was getting a phone call. Like, if Joe Musgrove was in the same, well, I guess he wasn't in the same situation, wasn't he? He got traded.
Yeah, pretty much.
Quick break for a message from our partners over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Can you believe we survived over 7 months without an NFL game? Pretty crazy, and boy, are we glad that that's over. The NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving us a can't-miss offer for the start of the season. This week, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. DraftKings is hooking everyone up with game day greatness. All customers can take advantage of two new offers every single game day this September. Check the app to see what you get. Pretty cool ones recently in terms of the Up 10, Up Early promo, were tokens where you get your bet cashes if the team that you bet on for a money line play cashes out early. It's kind of nice, especially if your team potentially loses that lead. Anyway, download now and use code SSBT to sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can take home $200. Again, $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5. Code SSBT only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. This offer is void in Toronto. Please see dkng.co/football for eligibility, terms, and responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after initial issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. All right, back to the pod here.
All right, real quick game. You get hired as Red Sox GM. What are three offseason moves you make or try to make? Not counting Ohtani, because that's an easy answer.
Great question.
I'll go first. Since I sprung it up on you guys, I'm trading for Corbin Burns / Brandon Woodruff. Basically, trade anybody besides Meyer or Kyle Teal, probably. I have to think about Roman Anthony. I trade Roman Anthony for an extension because the outfield is stacked. I'm trading Alex Verdugo for a starting pitcher. Name to be determined. Don't have one off the top of my head. And I'm going after Yamamoto. And I have now 1, 2, 3 starting pitchers, new starting pitchers. Then you have the question mark of Chris Sale. Then you have Nick Pivetta still. And insert another starting pitcher, putting Garrett Whitlock, Tanner Houck back into the bullpen where they belong. You still have Chris Martin. You still have Kenley Jansen. And you're... rotation is a whole lot better.
That's interesting. I like that. The only thing I might change, I don't know, I'm curious on what your thoughts are. Marcelo Meyer, I think I'm opening up a little bit to maybe him being available in terms of, I don't think his pedigree is not what it was. And I'm terrified of having a Yoan Moncada / Benintendi situation happen again, where it's like, we have this guy, he's the top of the boards. And then you're like, oh no. And then we see flashes enough to be interesting, but then you trade him for, I don't know, a couple of slapdick prospects like Benintendi was.
That is the fear now. Post-Benintendi world, I thought Benintendi was going to light the world on fire. Yeah. Yoan, man, we believe too. We lucked out with him.
I still believe.
Yeah, Josh. Yeah, you do. You still believe in Kopech?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one flip-flops for me.
I think I would definitely consider a Meyer deal if you're getting Burns and Woodruff and you get to extend them, one of them.
Burns. If it's Woodruff, no thanks.
We don't need a lefty, but you know who I'd be super interested in going after? Blake Snell.
Yeah.
I think his market's going to be interesting. I wonder how much he's going to get.
I think he would fit in. I think he's got the personality to succeed in Boston, though. I think Absolutely. He's one that can definitely handle the Boston media because he'll fucking talk shit right back.
And he's already got the resume to handle the AL East. You know, I know it's a little bit better than when he was dominant, but
he's a Yankee killer too, isn't he?
Yep.
What about Lowkey? Another lefty. What if, and again, this would be ridiculous in terms of all the guys that have swapped teams of these two teams, but Kershaw. And again, that would be, I don't think that's possible. I just feel like he's gone too long that he could just stay a forever Dodger. But wouldn't that be kind of interesting? I think I would low-key like love that. And even not even like, oh, cool to see him in a Red Sox uniform. Like, he's no, still got it.
I would believe if Kershaw was playing for us, I believe more in Kershaw now than Chris Sale.
Yeah, no, true.
Yeah, yeah. Although Chris Sale's numbers versus not the Orioles are pretty good this year.
True.
But you have to learn to pitch against the Orioles because they're going to be good for a little while.
I just don't want another like experiment guy. That's all I mean. Like I Yamamoto.
What about a guy like Jordan Montgomery? That would be like a solid signing, I think.
An innings eater.
Not a sexy signing, but like a better than Corey Kluber signing.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You want my fantasy drop?
That would
my,
be
my
a
fantasy would, world.
Yeah, of course I do.
The Mets sell, and we get Kodai Senga.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm in. I think he's a stud. Yeah.
Yeah.
He
would love that.
He's on a great contract, too. He's Aaron Nola is going to get, like, double what he is, and I'd rather have Senga.
Same.
Yeah, I'm in on that, Josh, good for point, sure.
Yeah.
Phillies fans kind of low-key are over Aaron Nola. It sounds like he's just kind of like he doesn't seem like he's a good part of the team. Like they're just like he seems like he's checked out. So I don't know if I want to pay Aaron Nola.
I'm kind of scared.
Me too.
Of him pitching in Fenway, to be honest.
I would not like that very much.
Busted.
That's what. Yeah.
If it was the Red Sox, that'd be the first jersey I'm getting.
Nola?
Yeah, no doubt.
No way.
Oh yeah. I'd get an old. If it was like a 5-year deal, I'd get a jersey, no doubt. I have such weird faith in him and Bieber. It's like a, I don't know. It's like a safety blanket.
Literally like forgot Shane Bieber was a pitcher, dude. Until you said that, haven't heard name in a long time.
Yeah, him and his elbow are fucking tweaked. But if he came to the Red Sox, man, I'd fucking be right there. I'd forgive him too if he got hurt. That's all right. Yeah,
that's how I am with Chris Sale though. Like I just don't care that he's always hurt anymore. It's like the same thing I was with Pedroia. I'm just like so thankful for everything that they gave, and they're just badass competitors. So like, whatever.
Do you believe in Sale still though? Like, do you believe he'll come back and be good?
He's not like Cy Young. Chris Sale, like that part has passed him by, but I still think he can be good. I'm just not counting on him. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I think he gives so many shits too, which that's what I love.
He cares
like,
so
I think
much.
He would do anything to like contribute to the team. So that's where I love like even as a potential kind of lefty setup man or closer.
Yep,
again, it's
that.
Ridiculous money wise. Like that would be such a waste of money. But
he would go do it though.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, but yeah, you're right though. His Cy Young days are over. But.
Yeah. Do you guys have any closing Patriot or Falcons takes before we call it a day?
Falcons schedule is super easy, boys. I'm loving it. Starting 2-0.
They're gonna be legit, yo. For real.
I still think Desmond Ridder sucks fucking way.
Don't even start.
Sorry.
I think he's good.
He's good.
I think he's just fine.
I think the Falcons would win the NFC South and potentially a playoff game or two if they traded for Kirk Cousins right now. That's my take.
Oh my God. Give me a break.
I'm on board there.
I don't think the Vikings would do it, but like I've seen him being tossed around as a possibility for the Jets, but the Falcons would be dope. That would be like, Josh, you would love
they
it.
They don't
you
need
it
him.
Gross,
they don't know.
But you would love it.
Nope.
Oh,
I would not.
You'd love the results.
Ride or die.
He's Desmond literally Ritter. Just Matt Ryan, though.
Yeah,
you think
that's why
it.
I don't want him.
He's just the same guy.
Matt Ryan can rest in peace.
He's having a rough time in the booth too. I don't know if you guys have saw any of that, but happy for you, Josh. We are 0-2 over here with the Patriots land. We'll talk more about it next week after they beat the Jets and are 1-2, and we're a little higher on them than we are right this second.
I like it.
Hey, yo, watch the Nebraska game this week. I'll be there.
Yep.
Nebraska, Louisiana Tech.
Definitely not doing that, but I hope
you have fun. Tune in.
Have fun out there, bud.
Zach Wilson.
MVP. Oh, Philip Rivers to the Jets. Come on.
Zach Wilson stinks.
Tom Brady returns.
Real bad.